Hello and welcome to our year-end holiday edition of The Skid, Mark.
Oh, that's a little bit naughty, but never mind.
And the dramatic pause in the middle, I thought, added a little extra to it. So for this podcast, we're going to do something special.
How about Mark on The Skids? Sorry.
I feel like that's even perhaps naughtier. This week, we're going to talk about what's been happening in the news currently, and then do a year in review for our dedicated listeners.
Exactly.
We're going to make
Stay tuned for the whole
podcast. So the big news in the U.S. is dominated by the U.S. Senate special election in Alabama, in which the Democrat Doug Jones beat Roy Moore by a margin of 20,715 votes. There were approximately 22,000 write-in votes. So it shows you that this election was really won on a knife's edge, and of course, the first time in I think 25 years. The Democrat has been elected to the U.S. Senate. Just a couple things of note that I thought was interesting, which is that 89% of voters in exit polls said that they thought the allegations against Moore were true. And yet the election was still as close.
It was still 49-51.
Yes.
So as John, our engineer, just put it beautifully, well, you know, you have to choose between a baby killer and a pederast.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a bit of a tough one. And depending on, you know, where your values lie, that could be true. Because, you know, in one case, someone's dead. In the other case, somebody's just physically tortured. You can adjudicate that one, I guess.
Who knows whether these young women were telling the truth. Of course, there are all sorts of questions about whether or not what they were alleging was accurate or not as well.
Can I ask you a question about this? So I'm straight out asking you as a woman on this one. Does it matter that over time our values and our expectations of appropriate sexual behavior change over time?
I think it does. And actually, I've been talking about this with my friends in terms of thinking about Bill Clinton, and that was really the era of consent.
Right. And not just that. Why? Right. He totally got away with that.
Because
right.
It was consent. Because she, Monica Lewinsky was an adult. She was over the age of 18. It was consensual. And so therefore, it was okay. And of course, this is being relitigated in the popular press about whether or not. And I think we're now in the age of it's not consent because, of course, there's a power dynamic between the president or a very powerful Hollywood producer or what have you. And so even if the women or the are of age and can make adult decisions, is that still consent? If
right. Well, no, you know, when a job is at stake and all
exactly.
the rest of, you know,
yes.
that sort of stuff. But yeah. So, for example, I come from Scotland, right? The age of consent is 16.
Which
always has been, right?
Right.
And basically, our teen pregnancies start about 13, right? Mm. So people are sexually active beings. And I wonder if, to a certain extent, what we're doing, and there's a danger here, that what we're doing is making women incredibly passive.
Yeah.
They're just victims, and there's some kind of legal barrier.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they have voice, but they have no kind of agency in this. What do you think?
No, I agree with that. And also, in relation to that, the solution to this quote unquote issue is that everyone gets fired. Everyone's just fired, and that's the end of it. And so someone stands up and accuses, or, you know, in some way it has their voice heard. And so the answer to that is that the person is just fired. And I don't know that that does anything to the woman who was really scared.
And particularly if there were criminal activities involved. I mean, if there's a crime, get the cops involved, right? So, yeah, anyway.
Because I don't know that that's agency. That it doesn't empower anybody. It's just like, okay, well, now Matt Lauer's fired, so it's
right.
So the problem's taken care of.
It's a bit like, I don't know if people remember this, but when we had the .com financial crisis, do you remember who went to jail then? Who was the sacrificial lamb?
Was it, who was it?
It was Martha Stewart.
That's right.
Everybody, but like that was it. It was like this terrible, complicated thing and insider trading and lots of things and lots of money. So we'll just jail Martha Stewart because basically nobody likes her. So that's it. And then we just drew a line under it, right? There seems to be a similar sort of dynamic happening in this one.
Not to be too academic, but it's the classic bad apples, that it's just one bad apple in the bunch and the rest are fine. So if we take, then somehow that solves the
problem.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? But anyway, back to the week's news after that sociological detour.
And the other thing, of course, the big news coming out of the race was the robust nature of the African-American vote. 30% of the overall electorate in 2012, when Obama was on the ticket, it was 28%. There's a lot of talk around African-American women coming out in very high numbers. And of course, to think about that it was won by such a small margin, the African-American vote is incredibly, of course, crucial to this.
And how does white college educated women fit into this one, Kari?
So to the Democratic National Party, white college educated women are not Democrats. And they voted 52% for Moore. So white college educated women are not again, are not Democrats.
And the
Democrats.
Majority of white-collar educated women who voted in the general election actually voted for Trump as well. So
that's right.
That's a couple of big data points there the Democrats might want to pay attention to.
Yes, so maybe stop strategizing around them as any sort of reliable voting bloc. And this, of course, bleeds into the tax plan. Certainly they're going to vote for it. So maybe backing up a second, when there's a special election in Massachusetts, when Scott Brown won, they waited on the Affordable Care Act vote for Scott Brown to be seated. It does not appear that Mitch McConnell is going to do the same courtesy for Doug Jones to be seated. So they're proceeding with the tax vote. But the news this morning, at least, was that Marco Rubio.
Absolutely.
Is on the fence.
Little Marco is striking back against Trump. Payback time.
Will he actually maintain his backbone on this is unclear. I think Bob Corker from Tennessee in his last few fighting days here in the Senate against Trump is a no. So Republicans can only lose one more vote if these votes stand. For this bill that no one really seems to know what's in it still, there's still a lot of back and forth around a lot of these different really important amendments. And I'm not sure the public has been drawn into this other than people think it's okay or people hate it.
Exactly. And, you know, the sort of the quietness of the public on this is kind of interesting. And it's also mirrored, I think, very much on something else that's been going on, which is the whole issue of net neutrality.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
Everybody uses the internet, right? Everybody pays taxes. So you would think, right, you know, and being, you know, in political science and social science, you know, we think that, well, people care about pocketbook issues, right? So these are two things that people should deeply care about. And yet it seems that policy has been written completely under the radar and most people are disconnected. So what's been going on with the net neutrality stuff?
So as I was trying to keep up with it, but I will also admit that on both topics, the tax bill and net neutrality, my eyes kind of roll back in my head. Was it because it's not at all a voter friendly, like regular schmo, which I consider myself on these issues because there's so much technical details. And I just want to turn on my computer and be able to buy, you know, a
right. But let's say, for example, you're in an area that's run by Verizon, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Verizon basically hates the fact that 70% of their bandwidth is taken up every night by everyone watching Netflix. And they don't own Netflix. So they could now basically make it much harder for you to watch Netflix unless you're willing to pay another premium on top of the $100 you're paying for their already crappy internet by international standards, right? So there are real issues in here, but nobody seems to be motivated by it. Similarly with the tax bill, where one estimate I saw, I don't know how reliable this is, but let's say half of it's reliable, right? So the Trump family will save $1 billion in inheritance taxes because of this tax bill, which applies to basically 4,800 families in the United States.
Wait, $1 billion?
They'll save $1 billion,
holy
right?
Holy
cow. I mean, and you know, what are you getting? You're getting like crumbs from the table and your mortgage tax deduction taken away. And people are not outraged. It's very puzzling to me how people have just become so... So the world is polarized. Everyone's angry, right? But when real things happen, people seem to be just kind of stultified.
Especially when it's that sort of saved for the very top... I think it's maybe we still believe in the American dream. So we think, oh, well, if I worked really hard like Donald Trump, even though it was generational wealth, then I would be saving $1 billion. It is hard to understand why people aren't more outraged about that.
I mean, basically, my line on the tax cuts, which I've said before, but I'll say again because I really like it, is the party of the plutocracy has taken everything they can from the bottom 80% and are now coming after the next 19%, right? That's all you really need to know, right? Not the top 1%. And then as far as net neutrality is concerned, these are public goods and everything that they want to do is to turn it into private goods so that people who already have can charge more.
And it sounds like that there's a bunch of lawsuits waiting out there to see whether or not this is actually going to be implemented. But even that seemed unclear from the headlines. Has this thing been approved? And therefore, companies can now start doing this. Incredibly unclear as to what the next steps are. And
maybe that
consumers.
Kind of obfuscation is precisely what they're dealing with, aiming for.
Yeah.
And you see this with the tax bill being passed in the middle of the night, and we still don't know what's in it. But you know, it's kind of a rack politics.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust me, we're the experts.
The tax bill is set, if it passes, will go into effect January 1st, 2018. And so 2017 taxes will be as they were, but January 1st, that's like 2 weeks from. So it's incredibly fast in terms of its
Well, Trump might die, so he needs that $1 billion in tax relief to pass on to his kids.
He does drink 12 cans of Diet Coke a day. That can't be healthy.
Is there any tests on what aspartame does to you in that volume?
Yeah, exactly. Does it harden your liver fully or just partially?
Wow, that's amazing.
There's a great tweet about we've gone from a 6-almond president, President Obama, to a 12 Diet Coke president in President Trump.
And I think my favorite president was Harry Truman, and he was a 3 bourbon a day guy. So I'm down with Harry Truman.
I see. My favorite is Johnson, and I think he probably had 16 glasses of bourbon a day.
He probably did, yeah. Right. Whilst shouting at someone on the telephone, yes. Whilst being in the shower.
Yes, while being measured for a new suit. Yes,
exactly.
All of the above. Jerusalem.
Ah!
The new capital of, or the newly recognized capital by the U.S. of the state of Israel.
And East Jerusalem is now the new, really recognized capital of Palestine by all of the Muslim countries.
Yes.
So way to go on that one. You know, we really brought people together.
Only 1 billion Muslims are really even more. Well, I mean, because they were angry at the U.S. to begin with, but now maybe slightly more angry. But it was unclear from hearing from Secretary of State Tillerson when this would take place. He said it takes years to actually build an embassy, which seems.
Apparently, the embassy itself, basically, I don't know if they tweeted this out. If they tweet out, I don't know if they do. But apparently, they said that, well, we're not going anywhere for 4 years.
In Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's that. And then, of course, you do the site assessment, and then you have to go in and buy the land, and then you have to clear it, and then you have to build it. So this is probably a 10-year project. This is another brilliant example of something we've spoken about before, the kind of costless demonstrative politics of Trump, whereby there are costs, right? You know, people get injured and get pissed off and die and stuff like that. But in terms of like what it costs him, it's absolutely nothing. He gives his ally Bibi a get-out-of-jail card, because Bibi's up to his neck in corruption allegations.
Yeah.
So he gets to do the distraction thing, because, of course, the Muslim population gets enraged. Then they start rioting, and Bibi gets to say to his domestic audience, look, I told you, right? So he gets to throw Bibi a bone, and at the same time, he lives up to a campaign pledge.
Mm-hmm.
Check, move on.
Yes.
Rest of world deals with consequences.
Yes, yeah.
It's like pulling out the Paris Climate Accord. It's like, why would you do that? Because I said I would.
It also seems just like a bad contractor. I mean, it takes you 10 years to build a house, it just seems like a bad
Listen, I'm meeting with my contractor at 3:00 today, so like, don't go down that road. It's
sorry,
too
not,
sensitive.
Not going with it. You don't have the same contractor exactly. That's going to build the new embassy.
I'll see the Trump van turning up outside.
Then you know you're in real trouble. Drum roll, please, to the year in review. We have a few different items that range from serious to a little less serious in terms of our year in review. So one of the things that I thought was most interesting for the year in review was the JFK files being released. And some of the interesting things that came out of that following the back and forth through Cuba, that potentially one of the Kennedy sisters was going to be assassinated as well. And I think for me, what was interesting is just sort of the release of these documents that the president somehow politicized, but also the high level of interest that still exists around this
absolutely.
Event that
but
happened.
But wasn't
so
a ton
long
of
ago.
Stuff still redacted?
Yes, there's just, yes.
Right,
yes,
so I mean, it's really is like, there you go, but most of it I can't see. Yes, but yes. We'll throw you a couple of nuggets, you know.
So clearly, I mean, conspiracy theorists still had a field day with it and thinking, what was all the redacted stuff? And
yeah, and what was all the redacted stuff? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Years ago, the British SAS tried to replicate I believe this is true. I think I did it on a TV program. The British SAS or ex-SAS people tried to replicate the shot. Now, these are some of the best marksmen in the world, right? They couldn't get close.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
It is, isn't it? It's never going to die, right? Regardless
ever.
Of what the real truth is, it's never right. going to go away.
Never.
So you know what else is never going to go away?
Please.
Argentina.
Oh, interesting.
Right. See, Argentina is sort of we'll everybody who does finance. It's everybody's favorite finance country. Because basically, Argentina isn't really part of Latin America. Argentina is basically a bunch of displaced Italians who still think they're Europeans. And therefore, they act like that. And one of the things that they do is they default. So on average, they default about every 20 years. Here's the fun bit. Earlier this year, Argentina managed to oversell the markets, a 100-year bond.
But they have a very low credit score rating, whatever, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. credit score rating, but what they, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, imagine this. Kari, you've not paid me rent 6 times in the past 6 years. So I'd like to give you a 10-year lease.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
total
that makes total
sense
doesn't
yeah.
it? Right. Now, what they're betting on is that either they will be bailed out and the cost will ultimately be borne by their taxpayers, or because of the way what's called the resolution mechanisms work now, they can sue Argentina in the courts to get their money back no matter what, right? There's this sort of stuff. But you're making a 100-year bet on a country that has very volatile politics and economics. Yeah. So this, my friend Bill Blaine in London just has a great line for this. The markets have no memory. And that's just a brilliant example this year of the markets having no memory.
But how do you get money out of a country that doesn't have any? You just force them to start selling off assets? I mean, how do you force me to pay you rent when I have no money?
Well, it's not that you don't have any money. It's just that your tax collection's terrible, your productivity's low, and ultimately if we have a good thorough dose of IMF-type reform, sure, the numbers will get better for a while, and then we'll chuck more money at you, and then you'll pretend to pay us back, and the person holding the bond is just kept good. It's what we did with Greece. Jeez. It's what we did with the other countries in Europe. I mean, standard practice.
Three-card Monty
and a house of cards.
My other year in review was the total solar eclipse.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes. I was away during that part of the summer, but it looked like everybody else with their solar eclipse sunglasses. I thought it was nice mostly because we don't know climate change is going to turn us all into one gigantic ocean. So will the sun still shine? We don't know. So it was at least a moment we could all come together around a solar. It broke down partisan lines. And we all came together to enjoy the solar
eclipse. So basically, idiots in Capitol Hill forgot to put their glasses on and all stared at the sun.
Yes, yeah,
brilliant
yes.
stuff, brilliant. So my other one is ongoing comedy, which just gets better and better, is Brexit, of course. Brexit has been the comedy story
unfolding?
Of 2017. So just a quick recap on where we were and where we started. Britain had the best deal ever. They were never going to join the euro. They could get to veto everything. They got market access for 60% of their exports. And they got to clear all euro transactions and feed their giant financial system. David Cameron thought, we can do better than that. So he went off to get a better deal than the best deal ever and failed. That then went to a vote. Everyone who was basically pissed off with everything else in Britain took this as an opportunity to tell the British ruling classes to go stuff themselves. And now we're handed Theresa May mishandling over the course of the year everything she possibly can. Quick recap, they've now said free movement of people stays, basically, in the sense that people who are European citizens who have the rights that they currently have will stay. The European Court of Justice will continue to basically supersede European British law for a long period of time. The numbers have been agreed. You are paying 50 billion, at least in a divorce bill. Somehow the Irish border will be open in a European border, even though it's actually part of British sovereign territory. So they have completely capitulated on everything. And now the latest is that the House of Commons has voted no to this and May has to go back and negotiate it again. So it's just brilliant. I mean, if you just want to see what happens when you take things too seriously in a democracy, look at Brexit.
What a question about the free movement of people. Are they grandfathering everybody in past a certain age and starting with
if you're here and you're a EU citizen and you want to stay and you're already completely legal, nobody's going to touch you.
A newborn UK citizen may not have those rights once they come to age in 18 years or 16 years.
I think under the current legislation, they actually would. I mean, I might be wrong on that, but I think they would. And in fact, you're still going to see people coming in and out of Britain. Yeah. So, you know, the high point of migration was a couple of years ago, and it's dropped by about 20% from that, but it's only 20%.
Jeez.
Right. So, I mean, this is nonsense. Britain is part of Europe. Europe moves. And Britain has, particularly in the southeast, huge skill requirements. People who can do IT, data storage, mm-hmm. banks, finance, math skills, all that sort of stuff. That's what the whole thing is. And they will take that from all over Europe. That's what they do.
Right. My other year in review, of course, has to do with domestic politics. And we can't forget the almost Time Man of the Year, Donald Trump. Mostly because 2017 was our first full or almost full year of having him as president of the United States. And I think from a nonpartisan perspective, just the amount of news that the Trump administration produces on a daily basis is enormous. That there's tweets in the morning, there's daily press briefing. There is always news being made in one way or the other, a contradiction between a secretary and the president. And so I think just the volume of news seems to be increased in the year 2017. Simply because there's so many venues that this president uses and so many different platforms that this president uses, unlike past presidencies. So this is one thing that I'm very curious about in 2018 is whether this volume increases. I'm not sure how it can, but in what other ways the Trump administration keeps up with itself just in terms of producing news or news that gets reported on. I'm not sure if that's actual news or not.
So is that fake news or not?
Not clear.
At this point, the distinction breaks down. It's just noise.
Yeah. Yes.
Should we call it noise rather than news? Noisy news. So rounding it all out, we've decided to nominate one good cop and one bad cop for 2017. I'm going to go with a good cop first. So my unexpected good cop is a bunch of people that I've given a hard time in the past for justified reasons to do with the way that European non-recovery was handled during the past 10 years. And that's the European Commission. But I'd like to give hats off to them for what they've been doing on global taxation. So they have told Ireland they still have to collect the money from Apple and hand it over. And they're going really hard against the big digital global monopolies on basically paying no taxes whatsoever. Reminder to everyone, Apple effectively paid no taxes at all last year. They sit on a $250 billion cash pile. They still issue bonds rather than use their cash, and then they take the cash from that to buy back their own shares to boost their share price. And they make us all upgrade to iOSs that make all our apps redundant. Why do we still think these people are cool? It's just financial engineering and extortion. So basically, the European Commission is going after these people, and particularly what they're doing is got a thing called the General Data Protection Regulation, which means that every time you go on Facebook and they want to show you an advert, you have to give your consent. Every single time. You imagine what that's going to do to Google? What that's going to do? It's going to just destroy the revenue model. So knowing this, right, now you got to ask yourself, do they really want to destroy these companies' revenue models? No, they just want to hit them with a big club that says, hey, pay your taxes. You know what? Because of the Trump administration, I'm going to pay more taxes. And I'm fine with that if everybody else was. And I'm still fine with it, actually, because there's room to go. And, you know, that seems to be something that's going on everywhere. Here, it's just a bit of a squeeze on the middle classes. Over there, what they're trying to do is actually get the people that are getting a corporate tax cut who don't need it because they don't pay any taxes to actually pay some taxes. So bravo to the European Commission for being a good cop.
Yeah, good job on them. And also that what surprises me, again, which shouldn't, is that Apple continues to have this sterling reputation in the public. It's cool, it's hip, and they've paid zero. I mean, as everyone knows this,
no taxes,
through all
right?
of the Paradise Papers, and the public is totally nonplussed, lines around the block to buy the X 1020 iPhone, whatever it was. And
P.T. Barnum was right.
We just shrug our shoulders. Yeah.
So who's your bad cop?
My unexpected bad cop is Nobel Peace Prize winning laureate Aung San Suu Kyi. And this, of course, has to do with the Rohingya. And who would have thought that a Nobel Peace Prize winning individual such as herself would be the one to...
And democracy advocate.
Yes. Yeah, to stay in line with the hardline military in terms of the extinction of Rohingya, and it is such a catastrophe of humanitarian of all every kind of disaster that you can think of. It's ongoing. There's really no end in sight, and it's a complete erasing of this group of people who have been in Burma for decades and have been extinguished, if not totally pushed out of the country. So I think looking forward in 2018 is how long she stays in power, because the military is very interesting, seeing the military numbers for the leader, very high approval ratings, and whether or not there's going to be some sort of push to move her out as a result.
So that just goes to show you that no bad deed goes unpunished.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe there is justice or at least karma in the world.
Yes.
All right, I think that's about it for 2017. We want to thank everybody who's been listening to us. We hope that we've raised a few points of interest, a few giggles, a few I don't believe you just said that, and we'll see you in 2018.
Bye. Happy New Year.